The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. This has been the church's cry every first day of the week, every time we come together. It is our proclamation through our deeds, our actions, our words, our worship, that the Lord is risen. And we celebrate Christ, who was buried and burrowed behind a tomb, but the tomb couldn't hold him. We celebrate Jesus, who was thought to be defeated, but he defeated evil, and he defeated death, and he defeated opposition, and he defeated resistance, and he defeated doubters, and he defeated haters, and he defeated the bad, and he defeated the bad news, and he gave the world the greatest news it could ever hear or experience, that Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. That is our claim today, and we are sticking to it. We are a people who live into and cling to the hope and promises embedded into the resurrection of Jesus. Because he lives, one song says, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fears are gone. And because I know Jesus holds the future, an empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. This Resurrection Sunday comes at an intersection of a couple of things. You know one of them. It's my birthday. I want to thank Mom for having me. And this also is the conclusion of a sermon series that we have been considering for the past seven weeks. For the past 7 weeks, we have talked about unsubscribing from things, unsubscribing from attitudes and actions and behaviors that clutter our walk with God, using the as a metaphor or a picture, my email box that has about 50,000 emails. I'm working on it, church. I'm working on it. 50,000 emails, and a bunch of them is just junk email that just clutters my email box. A couple of you over the past several weeks say, hey, did you get that email I sent you? Like, I'll go check. Because I have so many emails, sometimes the emails you send me get lost. And so I need to go in and not only delete some email, I also need to unsubscribe from some of these repetitive emails that I keep on getting over and over again. Well, we're using that as sort of a picture, a metaphor of unsubscribing from some things in our lives that create clutter and create chaos and just kind of make our journey, our walk with God, just a little murky, a little less pleasurable. And so we talked about unsubscribing from the past and from hurry and from a worry, unsubscribing from comparisons and unsubscribing from cravings and isolation. And today is Resurrection Sunday. And even though we celebrate the risen Christ 365 days of the year, on this particular day, we focus special attention on the resurrection, and we conclude this unsubscribe series by declaring that this is the day that we will unsubscribe from fear. Today, we will unsubscribe from fear. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, fear from the cartoon Inside Out. That's he's kind of cute. We're not talking about unsubscribing from that fear. We're not talking about turophobia, which is the fear of cheese. We're not going to talk about fear of cheese this morning. We're not going to talk about nomophobia. Nomophobia, this is a legitimate real fear that people have. It's medically tested. This is a fear of not having cell phone service. We're not going to talk about that today. And we're not going to talk about, I got to prepare for this one. Hold up. Arachibutyrophobia. That's the fear of getting peanut butter stuck on the roof of your mouth. It's a legitimate fear. You have to go to the doctor and get diagnosed, and there's medicine. The doctor tells you, don't eat peanut butter. It's a real fear. It's a real fear. It's a legitimate fear. But this morning, not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about peanut butter or cheese. The fears I'm talking about are the fears that when I say what scares you the most, what makes you afraid, what gives you fear, think about some of those things. I'm talking about fear of death, fear of rejection, fear of losing, fear of missing out, fear of confrontation, fear of asking for help, fear of letting go of the past, fear of change, fear of not getting everything accomplished, fear of being alone, fear of making a decision. See, those two are legitimate fears that live inside of us, and fears that probably inhabited some of the disciples in the first century. I'm talking about the disciples who saw their rabbi, their master, brutally executed. I'm talking about the disciples who, while Jesus was on earth, they had hope for the future. They were about to get things done. They walked around with their heads held high, but all of that came to a screeching halt when Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." And he breathed his last. You see, as the disciples saw that, when they saw that he had died, they thought that all was lost. They thought, we will never recover from this one. They believed that their only fate was to live in doom, gloom, and fear. But early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. One of the first things I want us to see and just experience through the reading, rereading of this familiar text, I want you to notice that when Mary Magdalene got to the tomb, it was still dark. Nothing grips the mind and heart with fear more than darkness. You ever been on a dark country road? How many of y'all from down south? I'm talking about down south, and you got them country roads that ain't got a bit of light nowhere, anywhere. You ever turn the lights off on your vehicle when you, it's some darkness that you can't even explain. Now, I was reminded of that just a couple of days ago. I got, in the days of GPS, you think this would never happen. I got lost in Pickerington. The other day, I was driving back from Athens, and I decided to take a shortcut. And I was on some road, and my GPS signal said, "Yeah, I can't help you, bro." That's what it said too. Is that I can't help you, bro? And it was so dark. And I like to do this. I stopped at one point. I just turned my lights off, and it was pitch black, just dark. And I got a little scared. And so I started driving again. I found my way home, you know, after like 2 hours. But I'm talking darkness. There's just something about being in the dark that frightens you. I mean, this is a church building. This is where the people of God come. And I've come in this building sometimes late at night when it's dark. I remember one time years ago, I had to tell the story because it's still kind of, I went upstairs and the lights were off and the light switch wouldn't come on. And I looked, and I heard something flapping. I was like, huh? Church, it was a bat in this building that was flying right at me. Now, I came to the church to do something very important that day. I have no clue what it was. It didn't get done, so I'm sorry if I came here to do something for you, but it didn't get done. I'm talking about darkness. It's just something about being in the dark that just, it frightens us, right? We look for the lights. We don't like the dark. I want you to recognize that when Mary came to the tomb, it was dark. It's frightening. And some of us right now are living in situations where it's dark. The money doesn't look good. It's dark. My son is addicted to heroin. It's dark. My wife is about to leave me. It's dark. This family situation, it just doesn't look good. It's dark. This sinful behavior has completely taken over my life. It's dark. When Mary came to the tomb, it was dark outside, but it was also dark in her life and dark in her world. But out of the darkness emerges a God surprise. Mary looks in the tomb and sees there's no body in there. This sets off a chain of events that leads to disciples running to the tomb and angels showing up and telling Mary that Jesus is alive and Jesus himself appearing to Mary Magdalene. That all took place when it was dark. And I believe that Jesus has the power to resurrect us out of the depths of darkness where fear has a snug hold of our lives. He shows up when it's dark. For weeks, I have been talking about things that clutter our lives, and this clutter can lead to darkness. The reason many are reluctant to delete the emails or unsubscribe from the emails that are in their boxes is a fear that we're going to miss something. Man, if I delete all of them, I'm gonna miss something. If I unsubscribe from that, man, they may send me an email that says, you won $1 million. I'm waiting for that email. If I unsubscribe, I'll never get that email. You see that fear that runs and makes our decisions. I'm starting to believe that fear is something that fuels all of these issues, fuels all of the clutter in our lives. I'm starting to believe that fear is what causes us to struggle with the past. When we are fearful of not being in control, we won't let go of the past. When we are fearful that we will never get things done, we won't unsubscribe from hurry. When we are fearful that not worrying will lead us to lose control, we won't unsubscribe from worry. When we are fearful of others advancing or being better than us, we won't unsubscribe from comparisons. When we are fearful that we can achieve the same feelings of euphoria we get from drugs that we can't, we have this fear that we can't experience the same feelings of euphoria that we get from drugs or alcohol or porn or shopping, we won't unsubscribe from cravings or addictions. When we are fearful of people seeing us for who we really are as we connect in community, we won't unsubscribe from isolation. Do you see how fear compounds us trying to unsubscribe from other things? Truth is, Christ's resurrection is the event that comes to us in our darkest moments and releases us from any bondage, any oppression, any setback, or any hindrance. When Jesus met Mary at her darkest moment, he called to her, seeking to bring life and hope to her bleak situation. Two angels appear to Mary and inquire about her gloomy situation. And Mary said, they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him. And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be a gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away." And then Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni." I wonder how Mary felt when she heard her name. Know this, church. Jesus knows our names. And he knows our situations. And he knows our anxieties. And he knows our worries. And he knows what ails us. And he knows what frightens us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows what is best for us. He knows our name. He knows our age. He knows our health condition. He knows everything. And because he knows everything, he is ultimately qualified to speak directly into our situations. Unsubscribing from fear is found in the liberating voice and life of Jesus, who overcame the grave and can overcome any of our fears. And perhaps on this Resurrection Sunday, we put in a simple request to Jesus to teach us to put fear in its rightful place. Mary, after he calls her Mary, she looks at him and says, Rabbi, teacher. Maybe this is the day that we say, Jesus, we need you to teach us some things. We need you to teach us to put fear in its rightful place. We need you to help us to unsubscribe from this gripping fear that we often get held up in. That is the situation that we find ourselves in today. At the feet of Jesus, saying, teach us, teach us. He can speak to our situations, and like he told Mary, he can tell us to go and tell others about his freeing and liberating voice. And it's in this moment with Mary that Jesus tells Mary to go and to tell the brothers that he is alive, thus making this woman the first preacher of the good news about Jesus' resurrection. And going forward, bursting forth out of the dark situation, Mary is living in the resurrection hope of Jesus, no longer a slave to fear, no longer gripped with grief and despair. Jesus Christ is alive, and so am I. Jesus Christ is alive, and so are we. When Jesus was on the cross, barely breathing, bloody and bruised, he cried out, "It is finished." And some thought that that was a cry of surrender and defeat. But what we know now because of the resurrection is that "it is finished" was a declaration of victory. Amen. You see, are you stuck getting caught up in the past? Jesus says, let go of the past because it is finished. Are you in a hurry getting caught up in this rat race, going around doing everything? Jesus says, rest because it is finished. Are you stressed out and consumed with worry? Jesus says worrying is not going to add a day, an hour, or a minute to your life because it is finished. Are you overwhelmed with measuring yourself to other people? Jesus says you are enough. I created you in the image of God. It is finished. Are you hopelessly addicted to something other than God? Jesus says taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus says it is finished. Do you think that you can only do life by yourself outside of community? Jesus says, you come and be a part of God's family. I died on the cross saying, it is finished. You don't have to be alone anymore. Are you gripped with fear? Fear of terrorism, fear of people who don't look like you, fear of the future. Fear of disease, fear of political outcomes, fear of church decline, fear of a broken relationship, fear of what you don't know, fear of not having enough money, fear of making people upset, fear of change, fear of failure. Jesus says, be strong and courageous and do not be afraid because it is finished. This is not a cry of defeat. It's a shout of victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We are in a season of life now in our society where peddling in fear makes people rich and gets people elected. We are in a place now where peddling in fear moves people to live on the edge rather to live in hope. We live in a time now where we would much rather remain paralyzed with fear than to make life-altering move. Churches fail, not for a lack of money or opportunity. They fail because of fear and the lack of faith. You don't believe this? Get ready, church. Political season is upon us. And you're going to have candidate after candidate saying, you know why you shouldn't vote for that person? You need to be afraid. If they get elected, you need to be afraid that this is going to happen. You need to be afraid of terrorists, or you need to be afraid that you won't have money, or you need to be afraid that everything's going to go. We peddle in fear, and that has become the default setting in our society. It's the norm, not the exception. One author wrote this: if you allow fear to determine your decisions and actions, you will lose your life. Why do people stay in destructive, abusive relationships? Why do people stay in jobs they hate instead of taking risks to pursue a lifelong passion? Why do church leaders allow unchristlike decisions to prevail in church meetings? Why don't people stand up and speak out in the face of injustice? It all comes down to one word: fear. In 2019, this needs to be the year where we tell the world, we tell each other, and we tell Satan, we will not subscribe to fear as our leading motivator or our prime mover or our ultimate decision maker. In 2019, we declare that he is risen, that Jesus arose, that he is alive, and we have no reason to fear. We are unsubscribing to fear. My life will not be driven by fear. Our church will not be led by fear. Our mission will not be derailed by fear. And when we find ourselves slipping back into a life gripped with fear, go back to the tomb with Mary while it was dark, where Jesus met her and called her by name. And then recall Jesus crying out, "It is finished." So the invitation on this Resurrection Sunday is a simple one. Come to him. Come to his altar. Unsubscribe from fear by hearing the liberating voice of Jesus call your name. Bill, Mary, Christy, Keith, Margaret, Rose, Perry, Tracy. Hear Jesus call your name, saying you have no reason to fear because I defeated death. Paul the Apostle will pick up on this theme and write it all throughout his letters. One of the letters he wrote to a young preacher who was having some issues with some church folks and having some issues with some folks. And there was a lot of reason for this young preacher to be afraid. But Paul says, I want you to hear something, Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He has given us a spirit of power and love and discipline. In 2019, church, that's where we need to choose to live, not fear. Let's stop being afraid to make some moves. Stop being afraid to make some changes in your life or make some changes in church. It's time that we live in power, in love, and in discipline. Why? Because Jesus says, it's finished. I got the victory. I defeated death. So hear Jesus call your name. Come to him. Trust him. Come to his altar. And say, Jesus, I am no longer a slave to fear. I've unsubscribed. And Jesus, there are going to be days that I'm going to be scared in the dark. There are going to be days I'm going to be scared to make that life-altering change. I'm going to be scared to make that confrontation that I need to make with a coworker or with a family member. But I know that you're calling my name, that you're with me, and that fear has no power over me. In fact, Jesus, as I come to your altar, you're reminding me right now that within me is a spirit of power and of love and of discipline. So right now, as we sing this song of invitation on this Resurrection Sunday, if you've been living a life past few months, past few years, your entire life where it's been driven by fear, I want you to come to the altar of Jesus and say, I am no longer a slave to fear. I need your resurrection hope to live deeply inside. Deeply embed your resurrection spirit and power in me right now. If you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, make Resurrection Sunday the day that you declare Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. We went to a church service last night, and we saw some folks giving their lives to Jesus Christ, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They made Resurrection Weekend the weekend that they're going to say, I belong to Jesus. This could be your moment where you say, I want to follow Jesus with my whole heart, with my whole life, with everything that's within me. I want to say, Jesus is Lord. I want to be baptized into him. I want to be initiated by him. And I want to live with this spirit of power and love and discipline. I'm unsubscribing from fear, fear of my friends, fear of losing standing in society. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. This could be your moment right now. So as we stand and sing this song, we sang this song earlier. I hope this is another song that becomes an anthem that we never neglect moments where we come to Jesus' altar to receive his power, to receive his love. Let's stand and let's sing this song.